The book of Exodus in the 32nd chapter, I want to talk to you about creating your own God. And that might sound a little harsh and maybe a little bit foreign, but the principle of that is seen throughout the Bible where people would do that, sometimes much more intentionally than others. But I think we are all guilty at times of creating a God that maybe we don't even recognize is not the one true and living God. There are things in life that we have that are maybe you would call an imitation of something else. You think about maybe jewelry or purses. You know, there may be a very high dollar brand of purse that has some, you know, fancy name that I wouldn't have no clue what it would be, but you know, you ladies probably know what I'm talking about, a real fancy purse, but you might could go buy an imitation of that that looks exactly like it. And as far as people know, when you're walking down the street, you're carrying that purse, they may look over at that purse and be like, hey, she's got one of those high dollar purses. Or it could be with, you know, diamonds. There's those, you know, fake diamonds that people may look at your hand and see this huge rock on your finger and be like, wow, look at the size of that diamond. But it's just an imitation of what is the real thing. And I think based on what I read in the Bible and based on my own experiences, I think sometimes we do that, maybe even if it's inadvertently, we do that with God, that we will create something that kind of mirrors God to some extent, and we will call it God, and we may pass it off as God, but when you line it up with what the Scripture says, you realize that it's not God at all. You could take one of those purses, you could take one of those diamonds, and you could take it to somebody that really knew what they were doing, maybe to like a jeweler or something, and they would take that so-called diamond and they could examine it and they would look closely at it and say, this looks like a diamond, but this is not a diamond at all. And so I want to look at this morning just for a few minutes about when we create our own God, and I want to give you three things to test whether or not you have created your own God in your mind. Now, the Bible tells us in Psalms, the 81st chapter, it says that there shall be no strange God in thee. It doesn't say in that particular verse, it doesn't say that there shall be no strange God, you know, hanging on your wall or standing in the corner of your house or anything like that. It says that this strange God is not supposed to be in you. Now that tells me that we can formulate false gods in our minds and our hearts. And sometimes you can carry that long enough that you don't even realize that you've created something that is not actually God. And maybe just like the jeweler that looks at the fake diamond there, when you take that God to the Word of God, you realize, oh, this is just an imitation. I've just kind of created this. Now, in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, in the first verse, we're going to read just a few scriptures here about a very intentional creating of a false god. And this is when Moses has gone up into the mount to receive the law, and the people are waiting on him. And in the first verse, it says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. And as for this Moses, you see the contempt there that they've got in their spirits? This Moses, you see the sarcasm? Yeah, this Moses, the same Moses that went with the power of God before Pharaoh and was God's instrument to deliver you out of the slavery of Egypt. Yeah, that's that Moses, but they have such contempt for him at this moment because he has delayed. And it says, for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And so you can read on there where Aaron says, well, give me the jewelry, give me the gold that the Egyptians spoiled you with when you left out of Egypt. Let's take all that. We're going to melt it down and we're going to make a molten calf. Now, it's interesting to me that the word delayed there primarily means, in the Hebrew, it primarily means to be disappointed or ashamed. Now, here, the context there, I want you to think about this, that the Israelites have been delivered from Egypt. They've been given this promised land that they're going to. And if you know anything about, you know, the Old Testament, one of the burning desires in the hearts of the Israelites, and it's not manifest till later on, but you see that the flesh, they want what all the other nations want, and they want some sort of king. They you know, all these other nations have gods. And so they're waiting on Moses to go to this promised land, and clearly they get impatient, and clearly there is some disappointment. We're delayed here. We're having, you know, there's something great waiting for us, but we're being held back because we can't go get it now. And now, on top of all that, we don't have, you know, this leader, this Moses, he's gone, and we don't even know if he's still alive. So this man that was an intercessor for us to God, he's gone. We're out here. We have no leader. Our faith in God is beginning to fail, that doesn't take long for that to happen if you read through the Old Testament. Our faith in God is beginning to fail, and they want something to represent them that they can accept, and then they can just move on with their life and go on and into this promised land that they're talking about. So in their disappointment that they're having to wait, in their shame that they don't have some sort of representative God like all the other nations do, they say, well, let's just create one. And they tell Aaron, say, Aaron, go make us some gods that we can worship them and we can get on with this journey that we're on. We're tired of waiting. Now, it's easy for us to be critical about that. But there are things in our life that maybe we may be a little disappointed in, or we may have some sort of desire to do something or to move on with our life, and it just doesn't suit us to have to wait on God or have to worship a God that says no. So oftentimes we do exactly what they did, and we begin to formulate the strange God, as Psalms 81 says, in us to give us some sort of justification or validation that we can go on the journey that we want to go on. I hope that makes sense to you. So, three questions I've got for you, and I won't elaborate on them very much at all, but I want to give you three questions to see, have you created a false God to suit you and your desires? Number one, is God's word your standard? And I've said this before, every person on this earth has a standard that they live by. That standard may be God's word. That standard may not have anything to do with God's word. That standard may be man's law. There may be a person that has no concern whatsoever with, let me give you an example. There is no law given by man that says fornication is wrong. But God's law says it is wrong. Well, a person would say, I don't care that God's law says that it's wrong. I go by what man's law says. So man's law is their standard. For some, it's not even man's law. Some people say, I don't care that man's law says that you can't steal. They may say, my law says I can steal. I read a book about a guy one time that was one of the most well-known poachers in America. And he poached for years and years and years on these ranches in Texas. And his justification for was that Abraham... that God told Abraham, he says, everywhere that you set your foot is going to be the land I give you. And so he would say, well, I've set my foot here. God said, this is mine. All right? His standard is what he lived by. Not God's standard, not man's law standard, his standard. We've all got standards that we live by. If your standard does not line up with God's law and God's book, and you live by your own standard, then you have created a God to suit you so you can move on through your life without feeling some sort of shame over your sin. Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
Happens all the time. In the book of Judges, it says there was no king in Israel at the time, no judge in Israel at the time. And it says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's simply saying what I just told to you, that every man formulated his own standard for what is right and what is wrong, and that's what they lived by, not God's word. So those people were they might as well have been fashioning a golden calf. They created a strange God in them. So question number one, is God's word your standard, or is your word your standard? We've all done it. We all do it. We all can take God's law, God's commandments, and we can justify it away. We can reason it away, and we can convince ourselves that what we're doing is okay and right, and it be completely against God's word. We need the jeweler to pick up what we're doing in our beliefs and look at it a little closer and say, this is not the real God.
Right.
Number two, do you believe that God changes and evolves with time? Now that's a big one. There's a lot of people that will look at the first question and say, oh yes, God's standard is my standard. However, we believe that God's law and God has evolved and changed over time. So you really can't look at God's word and say, this is the standard. Because God changes and God's evolved. There's a lot in the homosexuality movement that they will worship God, they will profess God, they will do all these things. But when it comes to that one issue of man, man, or woman, woman, they will say, we believe that God has evolved and changed on this matter. Well, what have you done there? Because the Bible says in the book of Malachi, the Lord says, I change not. In the book of Ezekiel, he says, I will teach them the difference between the holy and the profane, the difference between clean and unclean. Now listen, if God is constantly changing on what is holy and what is profane, what chance do we have of ever really figuring out which one is which? If I'm teaching my children that this is wrong and this is right, and 1 year later I say, actually, I've changed my mind. This is right and this is wrong. It'll be a constant state of confusion. How can God evolve and change and expect his people to continue to know what is holy and what is profane? He says, I am God and I change not. God is holy, and what was detestable and an abomination to God in the beginning is still the same. Do you believe that God evolves and changes? If you say, yes, I believe God evolves and changes, then you have created a God that when held up under the microscope of God's word, you realize it's an imitation, but it's not the real thing. Lastly, this is a good one. Do you defend your beliefs by beginning with, I think or I feel? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Do you begin your beliefs with, well, I just think or I just feel that God would whatever, whatever, whatever? I've heard people say those things. They can't defend it with God's word, so they'll say, well, I just think that God is not that kind of God. Or I just feel, well, here's the problem with that. Here's a problem with the way I feel. If I let my feelings guide me, number one, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It is a tragedy, but it is a comedy to watch people listen to their heart and with a straight face believe what it's telling them. That, oh, yes, this person does me wrong. Maybe they beat me. They steal from me. They're ugly to me. But I just believe he's the one for me. That's the heart lying to you. The heart will deceive you and tell you all manner of stuff to steal you away from the Lord. It is deceitful above all things. It is more deceitful to you than I could be to you. I could give you my best in trying to mislead you, and I can't do as good a job as your heart can do. That's why I don't trust what I feel. As a matter of fact, let me give you a good example. This is a silly example, but it paints a good picture. Yesterday, we had somewhere to be. We had to leave at 10:30. I go outside into the shop, and I start working on something. I don't have a clock. I don't have my phone. I don't know what time it is, but guess what? I felt like it was about 10 till 10. That's what I felt like. Hank comes out and says, "Dad, you know it's 10:24. And I still had to clean up. See, I felt like 10 or 20 minutes had passed, but in reality, a lot more time had passed. I don't trust the way I feel. I needed that constant of a clock to tell me, I don't care what you feel like, this is the truth.
Amen.
The Bible says every way of man is right in his own eyes. Boy, that's a bad one. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. You know what that tells me? That tells me a lot of times what you will feel like it is right, and it'll be dead wrong. Until you take it and you put it under the microscope of God's Word.
Amen.
So let me leave you with this. I think at times we all, whether intentionally or unintentionally, create a false God to suit us, to allow us to go on a journey that we're ready to go on. And just like the Israelites there, when they were ashamed that they didn't have some sort of representative, when they were tired of waiting and ready to go on their journey, it was an inconvenience to them to have to wait on God. So they just made their own. And I bet they looked at that golden calf and they said, "You know what that golden calf is saying to us? He's saying, let's go on and finish our journey and forget Moses." And sometimes we do the same thing. If God's word is not your standard, you've created a strange God within yourself. If you believe that God evolves and changes, that is contrary to God's word, and you've created a strange God within yourself. If you have to defend your beliefs with "I think" or "I feel" instead of "God's word says," chances are you've created a false God within yourselves. Maybe you had no intention of doing it. But it happens. May we be able to lay our pride down, and again, like going back to that jeweler, and as David says, "Lord, examine me and see if there be any wicked way in me." That's like taking that, the cubic zirconium to the jeweler and say, "Would you examine this and see if there's anything in here that's not genuine and real?" We have to go to the Lord for that. We have to go to God's word for that. And I pray that we'll be humble enough to do that. I hope that that's been profitable to you. And please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.